online, on digital, and on FM and medium wave.
This is BBC Radio Ulster.
Hello and welcome to Time of Our Lives. I'm Colm Arbuckle, and this is a brand new programme which celebrates the experiences, skills, challenges and achievements of some of our more mature listeners. Now, I should tell you right away that I've been described by one of my colleagues as a man of a certain age. Now, I won't tell you what that age is, but let's just say that when I caught the bus from Derry to Belfast this morning, I didn't have to pay. But make no mistake about it, there will be no such thing as taking it easy on this programme. Today, among other things, we'll be juggling with the circus school for the over 60s, singing along with the choirs of the University of the Third Age, and remembering the day that Gene Autry rode into downtown Belfast. Now, I won't be doing all this by myself, of course, so let me introduce you to my guests.
Life has just kicked off. It really has. People think, you know, what are you going to do when you retire? I need a secretary.
Exactly.
My daughter came in and looked at the calendar on our kitchen wall, and it's just filled with stuff. She says you've twice as much stuff on there as I have on mine at home. When I get out of here, I'm dashing home to get something to eat and then going off to my meditation class.
You're going to need it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4, 3, 2. I'm Mary McFadden and I belong to the Glens and Dalriada U3A, which is bit different from many other Northern Ireland because we represent a very rural area in quite a neglected part of the world, and we have to our credit a very good singing group with a very good choir mistress and some beautiful songs and singers, because the Glens of Antrim, as you know, were famed for years.
I'm Joe McFadden, Mary's husband. You can get older but you don't have to become aged. It's a mental thing as much as physical. And I think if people keep themselves mentally alert and physically fit, can't do everything all the day. I mean, I played 18 holes of golf yesterday. I wouldn't like to play 18 holes of golf today. But tomorrow, perhaps. It's just a case of doing what you can do and making sure that you keep yourself reasonably fit.
Here's a Landbridge town in the county down one morning in July. Down a boring green came a sweet colleen, and she smiled as she passed me by. She looked so sweet from her two bare feet through the sheen of her nut brown hair. Said a coaxing elf, I'd shake myself to be sure I was standing there. From Battery Bay up to Derry King.
How does one go from being a professor of anthropology at Queen's to go to a circus school to learn how to juggle? How did that happen?
Well, this happened through the inspiration of my grandson, who is turning into a great juggler. He goes to the Belfast Community Circus School. And I've been watching him doing it over the years, thinking, I could do that. And of course, I used to do it in a sort of metaphorical way at Queen's, juggling different aspects of my working life. So I thought, I can try this. Now, I've only risen to the pinnacle of scarf juggling with three. I've managed to get up to three. I tease my grandson that I can do eight.
Maybe say scarf juggling.
Scarf juggling.
How does one juggle scarf? I mean, how do you throw a scarf in the air, for example?
Well, now these aren't.
It sounds to me like if there's a wee wind, you're bent like the squeeze.
Now these are lovely silk scarves which rise in the air and fall slowly. So a man like myself, they're slightly compromised with catching ability. I can always catch them. Balls are a little bit more difficult. I'm aspiring to do ball juggling, but haven't got there yet. But the scarf juggling looks quite beautiful because they're multicoloured. Now, it's not the kind of scarf you put around your neck trying to keep yourself warm in the wintertime. These are very light and they float. And it looks remarkably skilled, but it's quite deceptive, really. It isn't that skilled.
I believe that Tom Duffy, the manager of the Duffy Circus, is outside with the contract.
Brilliant.
Waiting for you. He heard you. He heard you. In case anyone doesn't believe what happens at the circus school, we paid a visit to the Streetwise Community Circus for the over 60s, the agility class in Belfast this week, and here's what happened.
Right. And everyone. Morning. Oh, we've got some more new faces. Morning. Welcome. We're going to start with a little warm-up, I think. Let's start off with our toes. So we're just going to wiggle the toes. Just wiggle. OK, then we get our hands. We'll rub our hands together. Excellent. And we're going to tap here. And we're going to, as far as is comfortable, tap down to her shin and her feet. That's good. And coming back up again. Brilliant. And then on her knees, we'll rub her knees.
What we're doing is juggling with two people, but always remembering to throw towards the empty hand, which means that at any one time you'll have two things in the air if you do it quick enough, which is juggling. But it's juggling with four hands as opposed to two. And once you get that embodied in your body, that awareness of what you're doing, you can very quickly translate it into solo juggling with three. It's quite complex.
I tried the unicycle, nearly wrecked my knees. It's very hard, the unicycle, very hard. And I felt like my knees were problematic. I am Maeve McPeak, and I'm 62, in case you want to know. I love learning new tricks. You get a sense of achievement when you start off and you can't do one, and then you learn one and you think, wow, this is good. Your children get older, and so then you get more time to do more stuff for yourself. But like, I mean, I honestly don't feel like 60s old at all. I really don't.
I'm not very good with my hands, so it's helping me with my coordination with my hands and eyes. So you don't have to stop learning, you know, just because you're older or you're retired. I'm not retired yet. I probably won't. I'm not as old as some of these people, but I brought a friend of mine, Pamela, with me, and I just decided to stay because I don't prescribe to the attitude that you have to stop something because you're a particular age. I think it's important for your brain, for your body.
I'm Colin Arbuckle, and you're listening to Time of Our Lives on BBC Radio Ulster. Now, every week on this programme, we will be inviting a member of this wonderful club of older and wiser folk to reflect on what it means to them to be getting on a wee bit. Michael Fisher had a long and successful career as a journalist before retiring a few years back, and here are his thoughts on the relentless passage of time.
Well, how are you? What's the weather going to be like today? That's a question I continue to get asked, nearly 5 years after my retirement, or more correctly, since I gave up a staff job as a television news reporter and took a voluntary retirement package. So where exactly does the weather come in, you may ask? My job was always about news. Since 1984, here in Northern Ireland, that inevitably meant covering sometimes daily killings and several major incidents. Before that, two of my biggest stories were in County Kildare, a train crash, and also the disappearance of the racehorse Shergar. It's true, though, that my first story on my first day as an RTE news reporter in January 1979 was weather-related. When the temperature dropped to a record low of minus 18 degrees. The story concerned the transport disruption caused by the snow and ice. Back then, it took me a while to work out why people from the farming community I was introduced to by my then fiancé would usually start a conversation by asking me about the weather. 35 years on and now in semi-retirement, that same question was posed to me as I looked out over the stony grey soil of Monaghan. Now I realise that the sunshine or rain inquiry was not because my interlocutor had heard or seen my reports on radio or on the box. It was because he or she thought the famous BBC weatherman, Michael Fish, had landed in their midst. So if that's my solitary claim to fame when I finally retire, I'll be happy in the knowledge that I did have some impact as a television celebrity. What pleases me at this stage of my life is...
Now, for another piece of music, and Graham, this is your choice. It's from the debut album by the Rolling Stones, no less, released in 1964. So how big a deal were the Stones for a young Graham McFarlane back in the 60s?
Gosh, it was a total inspiration. I mean, I loved the Beatles, and the Beatles were producing lovely songs. But when I heard this LP for the first time, well, I bought it first of all, then I listened to it, and I thought, this is amazing. And this song in particular captured a particular mood I had, because even at the early age of 14, I had once had a little girlfriend and we split up, and this song just evoked all those heartbreaking sort of sentiments one had at that age.
He's wallowing in nostalgia.
Totally. Every time I hear this song, it takes me right back.
Have you seen them live?
Oh yes, I even saw them live in the old Ritz Cinema.
Oh, goodness.
In Belfast, and my my sister took me. I think I was 63. I was 12 then, and it was amazing, because unlike the Beatles, they seemed to play the music I really loved. And
you haven't seen them recently?
Well, the last time I saw them, it sounds rather pompous, but I saw them in Prague in 1990 something.
Well, that's not too far away.
I was at a conference, and we managed to get tickets one afternoon, and we all went off.
I managed to watch them in Slane, not too many years back.
I saw them there too.
My goodness, where does Mick Jagger get the energy?
I know.
2.5 hours, he wore me out just watching them.
It's all that training.
What an example. What an example to us all. Anyway, the track that you've chosen is called Tell Me. Danger, of course, of older people being isolated, especially in the rural communities, but of course not always. I remember my mother, we lived in the country when I was very young, and she said that she was never lonely in her life until we moved into Derry. So I mean, it's not just rural communities where people can feel isolated, they can in the city as well. So what's your words to people like that who maybe would be listening to us today?
Well, my words to people like that is to try and get involved in the like of U3A. It's not everyone who is churchy minded and can't join the Women's Institute or the Mothers Union, but the U3A has a lot to offer people who are just sitting maybe thinking, what should I do instead of watching TV all day? There's always something that they can get involved in, even if it's only coming along to a coffee morning, having a cup of coffee. There's a ripple effect, and they'll always find themselves, no matter how willing. The motto of the U3A at the moment, the catchphrase is live, learn and laugh. There's another one which is I put in is listen. You can go along to a meeting and listen, and that way you're learning, you're laughing, and you would hear something very, very interesting, and then you get sucked in, which is a good thing to do.
Graham, would you have advice for people?
I would second what Lionel's saying, but I would also suggest that anyone who feels that terrible sense of isolation, that they do communicate with AGNI, because they have a wonderful programme called First Connect. If you are isolated, you can contact AGNI and they can put you in touch with all sorts of organisations in your local community. It doesn't have to, as Nina says, doesn't have to be the Women's Institute or even the University of the Third Age, so I would recommend that. But all sorts of organisations exist there. Men's sheds, for instance, are very important these days.
I want to meet your 96-year-old or your 86-year-old canoeist. I want to meet her. She's a woman I need to talk to.
Well, I definitely will have to find out where she is now, so I can do that easily.
Well, there's a dairy man called Martin who is part of the AGNI consultative forum. He's into fire walking.
What?
Fire walking.
Fire walking.
He did that in just before Christmas in the Scannell Centre in East Belfast for charity.
I need that man's
help. He was brilliant. He was brilliant, inspirational.
Oh, it would be, of course it would.
South of the border, down Mexico way, that's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander, my thoughts ever stray south of the border, down Mexico way.
When I heard he was coming to Belfast, I mean, I had a bicycle in those days, the only means of transport, and I came down into the town. And the Grand Central Hotel, which is no longer in existence, there was a little balcony away at the very tip-top of the hotel, and Gene Autry appeared out on the balcony. And, oh, there was a huge crowd in Royal Avenue, and he acknowledged the crowd. After the crowd had drifted away, I thought I would hang on. So I stayed at the other side of the street until I thought he would come. It must have been at least an hour and a half to 2 hours later after he had appeared that he came out. And by that time I got to the side of the Grand Central Hotel, and when he came out, you know, I mean, even at 18 in those days, I was awestruck because I'd saw him on the screen, and here he was in real life. And I was so excited that he had already got to the car, and his driver had opened the door and let him in. He got into the back seat and went round and started off the car. So I got onto my bicycle and hot pursuit right along. And apparently the car had taken a wrong turn. Instead of going to the London Midland Scottish Railway, which was New York Street, it turned up North Street, which meant the driver had lost his bearings. So the car stopped abruptly and I rode right into the boot. And off I came on the bike. The next thing I knew, that the driver had come around, got me up, straightened my handlebars. I had a couple of cut knees. But, you know, that didn't affect me because I was seeing my hero in the back of the car, and Gene had turned around and smiled and waved out at me, you know, and that really made my day.
This little old band of gold is the one my mother wore, and I have saved it for someone like you.
Gene Autry, Leila.
Yes.
Were you a fan?
Oh, yes.
And what did you call his horse?
Champion.
Ah, well done.
The singing cowboy.
What about yourself, Graham? A fan of old cowboy movies and the black and white
TV? Absolutely. My father was a great fan of westerns, and I remember every Sunday afternoon there was some sort of cowboy western on.
Roy Rogers and Trigger.
Roy Rogers, Trigger and so on. Wasn't Gene Autry also a very brave soldier? He won some awards. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're thinking of Audie
Murphy. I'm thinking of Audie Murphy. Audie Murphy. Gosh, yeah, there's the edge setting in.
The man who, his co-stars, his female co-stars had to stand, they had to dig a trench for her because he was so small, apparently.
He was. Yes. Bring a biscuit tin with him or stand in the second step of the stairs.
I'd like to thank Leila for the singing cowboy. I remember that now.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just about time for us to ride off into the sunset. My thanks to my guests, Leila and Graham, and of course to you for listening. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can drop us a line at Time of Our Lives at Broadcasting House, Ormo Avenue, Belfast. That's BT28HQ. Or you can email me, column.arbuckle@bbc.co.uk. Just remember to put the U in column. I know you're asking why, why, but that's the way it is. Leila, you've chosen our last piece of music for us today. It's by Leroy Anderson, and it's very appropriately entitled Forgotten Dreams.
It seems to be carrying on the theme, but it's not really. I used to have a nursing colleague, and she was an excellent pianist. She's still living around Moira. And years later, when we qualified, married and went off, I was staying with her. And I woke up this morning, a lovely wee bedroom. The house is on top of a hill, beech trees all round. And I woke up, the wind was whistling through the beech trees, and Gertie was playing Forgotten Dreams downstairs on her piano. And isn't that a lovely way to wake up in the morning?
Absolutely.
And it brings me a sense of peace every time I hear the music or think about it.
There's nothing much more to add to that, Leila, except for me, Colin Arbuckle, to say bye-bye.